Today's episode is a fascinating conversation I had with one of our teammates about witchcraft and African traditional religion, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. But before we get into the episode, I just wanted to give you a warning that because of the topic, there is some mature content. And so if you have kids around, you may want to pause this and wait until you have a better opportunity. And the second thing is that because we were really into this conversation, it ended up being a lot longer than we were anticipating. And so we have split this up into two episodes. And so you're getting the first one right now. And then in 2 weeks, we'll be releasing the second one. I'm Josh.
And I'm Stacy Lee. We're missionaries in Malawi with Gospel Life Global Missions.
And this is the Gospel Life Podcast, where we talk about missions, Malawi, and more.
Today, Josh is talking with Isaac about magic and witchcraft in Malawi.
We just celebrated our 14th anniversary.
We did. We took a little picnic lunch out to a park here in Zomba. Had a good time.
And 14 years, it seems weird, doesn't it?
It seems like a really long time. Yeah.
And a lot of times I feel like we're just still kids playing house.
Yeah, but we are kids with like actual kids in an actual house that have been married for 14 years.
Well, I'm Baptist, so I don't know anything about wine, but I do think you are like one of those fancy cheeses that gets better with age.
That's good. That's good. I like that. I definitely feel like our marriage has just gotten better.
Yeah, definitely.
Just sweeter and deeper and just better in every way.
And that's good because we are trapped in this country together. So I'm glad we like one another.
We're stuck together.
Yeah. So we, there's no real travel. I mean, the very limited, but not there's normal travel in and out of Malawi.
Yeah. There's been one or two charter flights. And that's about it.
And the embassy offered an evacuation flight for Americans. And so it was really something we had to think about and discuss and pray about. But at the end of the day, we decided that we were supposed to be here.
Yeah. And so far, that really feels like the right choice.
I think, you know, we're very happy with that choice. And, you know, it's not over yet. So who knows what we'll say at the end of this thing. But so far, you know, we're very at peace with the choice of staying here in the midst of coronavirus and still continuing to serve the Lord here, although it's starting to look a little different.
Yeah, well, and I was going to say, I feel like it's really sent a good message to our team here and even the churches that we work for here of just like, we're really in this with you together.
Yeah. So as far as the kids go, there's really not much to update people about because it's just we're at home.
Still homeschooling.
Yeah. But as far as the ministry goes, we have started to do some things. Our only major restrictions are that people can't come to help us. And we had all these teams and different individuals coming for trips this summer, and it's all canceled the way through August.
From America to help us.
Yeah, you can't get the flights and you can't get a visa even to get into Malawi right now. But on the other hand, for us here, the main restriction is that we aren't supposed to have crowds over 100 people.
Although their political rallies are gathering hundreds every day.
Yeah, that's not consistently enforced, but that's the rule. And we're trying to honor the rule of the 100 people crowds. So right now I'm involved in taking applications for the new students who will come in October for Shepherd's Academy. So we test them for reading and things, and Isaac and I interview all those students, and then we have about 30 spots that we'll have to narrow down who gets the invitation and who doesn't. And then at the same time, some of you may be seeing on Facebook and Instagram, we've been doing some church planting research, and we've got some more places that we're going to go. But so far, we've been to the Mangochi district, which is primarily Muslim, and we've been doing some research there. And then we went to Chisi Island in Lake Chiwa to meet a small group of three believers there who want to start a church. So we're going to continue to try to do some of those low-key things as long as we're able to.
It's been pretty exciting to get out there with Isaac and Donald and some of the guys, right?
Yeah, it's great to be out there and actually be on the front lines of church planting and really get out to some of the unreached corners of this country.
Yeah. So you and Isaac had a pretty good conversation about magic and witchcraft, huh?
Yeah, it's hard to say that it's a good conversation about those topics, but it's definitely fascinating. And so we really dug deep in some of these things that probably a lot of our listeners haven't really thought about.
Or even heard of.
Yeah, other than maybe thinking way in the past, Africans were involved in such things, but not really knowing how they affect life today.
Yeah. The first time I heard of some of these things that you've told me that you and Isaac talked about, my mind was blown that this stuff happens today.
Yeah. So hopefully you, as our listeners, enjoy learning about the environment in which we minister here and the culture, and have your eyes open a little bit. And I hope it just really encourages people to pray more for what we're doing here.
Yeah, because there are definite spiritual battles happening for people's souls.
Yeah. So without further ado, here's our conversation. So today on the Gospel Life podcast, we have a very special guest. We have my coworker Isaac with us. And if you haven't gotten to know Isaac through our Instagram or Facebook posts, this is a great time for you to get to know him. So Isaac, say hi to everybody out there.
This is Isaac Dumbiri. Thanks for having me.
I wasn't going to include your last name because most people couldn't remember or pronounce it. So we're just going to go with Isaac.
Okay, that's good.
Isaac is a graduate of Central African Bible College, which is now university, and he has his master's degree from Piedmont International University. And for those of you who aren't aware, Isaac teaches with me in the Shepherd's Academy. So he teaches some of the classes. I teach some of the classes. He's also one of my primary translators. So I've warned him that his job here today is to speak in English, not to translate what I'm saying into Chichewa.
Which I will try my best.
Okay. I think you'll do fine. So we are very blessed to have Isaac. And it's our hope that on the podcast in the coming months, you'll get to meet even more of our team here in Malawi. And so this is a great time for you to get a sense of not just what Stacy and I are doing or what Kiki are doing, but the people that are around us that are really doing the work along with us. It's not just us over here doing things by ourselves. We have a great team, and Isaac is one of the central players on that team. And today, Isaac, we're going to talk about a very fascinating topic for Americans, something that they will not have thought very much about, and and that is magic, or what we could call witchcraft, sorcery. We also sometimes call it ATR, African Traditional Religion.
Right.
But to get us started off, I was looking up the statistics online for Malawi. And one of the main places you can find information about Malawi is on the CIA World Factbook. So the CIA, our spy organization, puts all this stuff online. So you can Google CIA World Factbook for Malawi, and it will have all kinds of information. And on that fact book, we read that 77% of Malawians identify as some sort of Christian.
Right.
So whether that's Catholic, Protestant, or some other Christian body, or even the heretical groups like Jehovah's Witnesses, 77% are Christian, 13% are Muslim, 9% are other, so some people are just not religious, or like we do have Indians who live in Malawi who are Hindu or Sikh or something like that. And then we have 1% who identify themselves as traditional. So as an American looking at those statistics, I would think all these things from the traditional African culture, witch doctors, spirits, ancestors, juju, and medicines, and all those things, that's in the past, right?
And it just goes on that just 1%. So it's just like few people.
So all that's gone now. Is that correct?
No. Actually, that's not real correct. But looking at this the statistics, it looks as if it's all gone. But the truth is, it's so strong and it's everywhere.
So you can be a Christian or identify as a Christian when they have these kinds of surveys, but you're still involved in witchcraft. And you can be a Muslim or even. And in fact, wouldn't you say that the Muslims have a reputation of being even more powerful in witchcraft?
And actually, most of the people, when they want to either found their stolen bike, they would rather go to a person who is a Muslim to help them to find that bike by that using magic.
So now, of course, we think, all right, we can understand, as Americans, we can understand your regular Christian who doesn't have a lot of understanding of the Bible being involved in those things, because in our own churches in America, it's those more, we could say, simple Christians who have a lot of kind of traditional beliefs that they intermingle with their Christianity, beliefs about luck or beliefs about guardian angels, or things that really don't come from the Bible. They come from our culture, and they just kind of mix it all together. But when you come to the pastors who are preaching in the pulpit, you know, they're going to be much more faithful to what the Bible teaches. Would you say that's the case in Malawi?
Not really, because even here in Malawi, most of the people in the who call themselves Christians, who are very much involved in magic and witchcraft, happen to be actually pastors.
You're saying the pastors are at the forefront of mixing together Christianity and witchcraft.
And that's why Christianity right now in Malawi, you don't have the true preaching of the gospel in all of these churches, because there's already evil in it.
So if you are hearing preaching that is coming from a pastor who on Sunday is supposedly preaching the Bible, but the rest of the week is involved in different witchcraft practices, which we'll talk about those, what those are in a little bit. Is that preaching that's going to change your life?
I don't think so.
So Malawians, we look at this, 77% are Christians. So that means that we have a culture here that is marked by sexual purity, that is marked by truthfulness, that is marked by people who, on the large part, have changed lives, right?
Right. Which on the contrary, that's not how things are in Malawi.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things which is so saddening, looking at this a great number of people who claim to be Christians, but you don't see the gospel in their lives.
Yeah, so they're getting dressed in their fancy Sunday clothes, or if they're Seventh-day Adventists, their Saturday clothes.
Absolutely.
And they're going to church, and they're singing praises, and from an outside point of view, you look at this, and as an American, especially visiting Malawi, and you see the how vibrant the worship is, just how emotional the worship is. And then you go back to an American church where everyone is just very stoic. You think, wow, these guys are really living their faith.
Right, right.
But that's just the surface, right?
Yes.
So then they go home, and not only are they involved in this witchcraft stuff, but there's all kinds of sexual immorality.
Right, right.
Which is why we have an HIV problem in this country.
Yes.
The people who work in government offices are stealing through bribery.
Absolutely.
The people on the street are focused on money, just like Americans are focused on money.
Right.
I mean, all these signs of greed and sin, they're still there, right?
Yes.
It's just
a lot of it.
It's just, as we would say in English, it's been wallpapered over by the surface level Christianity. So hopefully that wakes up some of our people to thinking about why we're here doing what we're doing. So we, even in our mission, do we deal with these things?
We do. And actually, it was just recently when we had some few guys, actually, some of our pastors even confessing over some of these problems which they have been dealing with, and we had to deal with them.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that later, but I just wanted to make that point that it's not like we're just talking about other groups.
Right.
We're talking about the pastors that you and I are training.
Right. True.
And it's all that's what's normal.
Right.
And we're here to fight against that and to bring the truth. Let's help people understand a little bit what we mean by magic. What are some of the ways or the reasons that people use magic or witchcraft or whatever we want to call it?
So I would say it in this way. People use magic to either gain more money. Others to they use magic to find their lost things. Others use magic to bring hurt on other people. So this is like there is this ability to tap in into powers from the spiritual realm and use that for their benefit.
Yeah,
whatever
so,
the benefit
so
is.
You know, if you're a businessman, you're going to be using witchcraft to help your business.
Right.
If you're a farmer, you're going to be using witchcraft to produce your crops.
Crops. And even there, on the farmers, you're going to use witchcraft to even protect your farmland, that nobody will come and steal your products.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And if you're a business guy, you're going to put in different medicines and stuff so that if someone does steal from you, then they're going to pay the consequences.
Absolutely. You'll be able to know who has stolen from you, and then you either punish them, and the others actually lose their lives through that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's for you to bring prosperity to whatever it is you're doing.
Right.
It's for protection, protection for your family. Also, if someone's sick, in your family?
Yes, absolutely. So yeah, if you are sick, you might go and be helped by somebody who knows these magics and they're able to heal you.
Yeah, I remember one of our students we were talking to had a child whose soft spot on their head was slow in closing up, and his entire family, the solution that they were giving him was take the child to the witch doctor.
Absolutely, yes, yeah. And with that, the underlying factor why people are so quick to go and get this magic, it's the fear behind it. Mm-hmm. If you are sick and if you are advised to go and seek for these solutions, if you don't do that, if you die, that there is that fear which they impress on you that that's your fault.
Yeah.
We try to warn you.
Yeah. So explain to me how the traditional concept in Africa of how the spirits work, where God is in the universe, and what these witch doctors are doing for people, where they, if you will, what is, how is the world built that this magic works?
Okay, so there is, in a sense, a belief that there is God, but this God doesn't have anything to do with the world.
So he basically created the world.
Yes.
And then he has stepped back and he's too far away from us us to get to him.
Absolutely. And he doesn't have anything to do with it. And then he has allowed the spirits of the dead to now be engaged in the affairs of the people.
Yeah.
But now for you.
Now, let me ask you a question. And I'm genuinely curious about this.
Right.
So you mentioned the spirits of the dead. Is there like this whole hierarchy of other smaller gods as well as ancestral spirits between the creator God and us, or is it just, you're just saying it's mainly ancestral spirits?
It is just the ancestral spirits who are able to stand as if in between God and the humans.
Okay.
So there now, for you to tap in these spirits, you need to have an extraordinary powers to be able to communicate to these spirits. So not everybody is able to communicate to these spirits of the dead.
Okay. So that's where the witch doctor comes in.
Right.
He is the bridge between the world of the dead.
Right.
And us.
Yes, yes.
And so he can manipulate, if you will, the dead spirits.
Yes, yes.
In order to get them to do things that are beneficial for the living.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that has to make us think that in a very different way than we're used to thinking as Christians.
Right.
As Christians, we assume that God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and even the angels, they are all on our side as believers.
Yes.
And they love us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so they, even when we're praying, we're praying to someone who loves us and who wants to do what is good for us.
Yes.
But these ancestral spirits, they don't necessarily love you or want to do what's good for you. Mm-hmm. So that's different, isn't it?
It is very different. So it all depends who has these powers to communicate with these spirits.
Mm-hmm.
So if I am wicked and I have the powers to communicate to these spirits, I'm able to use their powers for evil purposes. Mm-hmm. And if I'm good, I'm able also to use their powers for good purposes. So it doesn't really matter. these spirits are able to do whatever the person is asking them to do.
Yeah. To bring it kind of closer to home for our listeners, I've been reading some of the Greek myths with my daughters. Mm-hmm. And last night we were reading about the Trojan War, and we were reading from a child's version of the Iliad by Homer. Mm-hmm. And Haley asked the question, so are the Greeks the good guys and the Trojans the bad guys? Mm. And I said, honey, there really isn't a good versus bad here. Right. Like, there's just kind of everybody isn't completely good and everybody isn't completely bad. You have one guy, Paris, who stole Helen, mm-hmm. the most beautiful woman in the world, and he's clearly the bad guy in the story.
Right.
But you also have on the Trojan side his brother Hector, who is a hero and this great warrior who's portrayed kind of as a good guy. So it's not like all the Trojans are bad, all the Greeks are good. But what you see also in the story is the heavenly side of things,
right,
where the gods themselves are split. And they are being kind of manipulated by the humans in order to take sides, so that Paris has chosen Aphrodite as the most beautiful of the goddesses. Mm. So she's fighting for him.
Right.
But then the other goddesses are fighting against him. And then Achilles, his mother, appeals to Zeus on his behalf. So Zeus is fighting for Achilles and the Greeks. And so it's just everybody is kind of, all the gods are taking different sides. And it's not a clear good versus evil.
Right.
It's not a relationship of love. It's all about power and manipulation.
Yes, yes, yes. That's how I will summarize it.
I know everyone is tired of hearing about in these uncertain times, but we do want to take a moment to say a big thank you to everyone who has continued to faithfully give to Gospel Life during these uncertain times. And that is the vast majority of our donors, and we are so blessed to know that you have continued even as you've faced struggles and difficulties in your own lives, that you have continued to make the gospel going forth here in Malawi a priority to you and your family. So we just want to say thank you. At the same time, because of what we're facing in the U.S., there have been some of our donors who unfortunately just haven't been able to continue giving at their same normal level. And we understand the things they're going through, and we know that pull back from giving doesn't say that they don't care about the work here or anything like that. And if that's you, we are still thankful for all you've been able to do in the past. But if you have something a little extra that you can give right now, then this would be a great time to help us meet some of these shortfalls that we're facing because of the difficulties of coronavirus and the downturn in the economy. So if you have a moment and the Lord leads you, head over to gospellife.org/give and give to help us through this difficult time. Yeah, so this is a worldview that is based on what missiologists would say, fear versus power.
Right.
So if I'm afraid, then what I need is more power.
Absolutely.
And the ancestral spirits are the way to get
there. Yes.
So this this leads to different practices that maybe we might see in our Western media, especially the BBC. It seems like they're always having a story about some sort of traditional practice in Malawi and the problems with it. So one of those things that you're going to see in the headlines is the killing of albino people.
Yes.
So tell me how that works in ancestral worship and witchcraft.
So when you want power, like mostly these are happening at times when people are really fighting for power in politics. Mm-hmm. So when you want power, you will go to a witch doctor and the witch doctor will ask you to give an offering. And okay. mostly in this case, they ask for the bones of the albinos. Mm-hmm. So you find that these people are being killed. They disappear because this person who wants power was asked to provide the bones of that person.
Yeah.
So mostly, that's what happens.
So albinos, people who are born with this lack of pigmentation in their skin, they are seen because of that as having some sort of particular spiritual power in them, and therefore, even if they've died naturally and they're buried, their bodies are probably going to get dug up.
Right.
But even more horrifying is that they live in constant fear that people are going to come murder them for their bodies.
Right.
And I mean, it's just horrible to think
about. It is very much because... you look at the way the community has just been filled with fear for these people, and even them themselves, there isn't that freedom in the way they move.
And what kind of money is involved in this? Because that's what's fueling a lot of the albino killings, is not just the desire for power, but because someone wants that power, they're willing to pay for
it. Right, right. I mean, a lot of people pay a lot of money for this. And that's why, actually, people are willing to go and kill somebody. Even if they are caught, they know that their lives will be taken, but they're willing to go and make a person of albino disappear because they know they will get a fortune out of this person.
Yeah, I mean, I've read of tens of thousands of dollars that are involved in these transactions.
It's a lot of money.
And that's a lot of money for Malawians who make about $2 a day.
Right, right. It's a lot of money.
And we wouldn't say that there's necessarily correlation is not causation, as the statisticians tell us, but there is always a correlation in Malawi, in Mozambique, and Zambia, and surrounding countries between election season and albino killings.
Absolutely.
Even if the lead politicians are not involved in this, which they claim not to be, the people who want them to be elected are willing to be involved in these things because that they think that controls the election.
Right.
Now, if I'm a parent, and I am steeped in this worldview, and I have a new baby, I don't want anything to happen to that baby. I want to protect that child. So what is one of the things I'm going to do to protect my child?
You are supposed to go to a witch doctor, and the witch doctor is supposed to make some charms for the baby, and even some medicine which you need to give to the baby. And these charms, they put them around their kids. So you will find
that. So, like a necklace.
Like a necklace, sometimes even on their waist.
Okay.
So you will find a kid with a certain necklace with a very dark thing, which is a charm. inside there medicine, which are supposed to protect the child from the head from swelling and, uh-huh. and all of the kinds of things. Yeah.
Yeah. And then as children grow, there's even more ceremonies and things, especially when we talk about initiation, the time when a girl becomes a woman, a boy becomes a man, and these have a lot of, on the one hand, very good cultural practices because they try to teach them some virtues and societal values. But on the other hand, it's all intermixed with witchcraft and traditional religion.
Yes.
So could you tell me a little bit about these initiation ceremonies and the problems that there are with them?
Okay, so as you said, that when the child reaches that puberty stage, they are taken into these places where they camp for 1 month.
Okay.
And there they are being taught, as you said, from another hand, the values of the society and the ethics. But on the other hand, that's where actually these kids are being taught ways in which they can protect themselves from a spiritual point of view.
Yeah.
And these camps, actually, they are always surrounded with the magic.
Mm-hmm.
So no, a witch, for example, can't go and have their activities around these camps because they are protected by magic. And that's where the children also are taught even the sexuality. They are being advised out of this that when they finish their sermons, they can't even try to sleep with somebody to see if they have grown up.
Yeah, they're taught how it all works.
Yes.
In some cases, in maybe many cases, they're advised to go try it out for themselves.
Yes, yes.
And then, of course, we have different tribes in Malawi.
Yes, we do.
And each tribe will have its own kind of twist and different emphases, although there's a great similarity in the basic practices.
Right.
There's just the details seem to be more particular to different tribes.
Right.
And one of the headlines from the BBC back about 5 years ago was in the Lower Shiri, where we do a lot of work with this, mainly the Sena tribe. And during this initiation ceremony, there's a man called a hyena. So explain to me the job of the hyena.
So the job of the hyena is to go to the girls and teach them to have sex with a man.
Yeah.
So he goes literally to a lady. When she's done with her ceremony, she's put in a house. And she's just told that at night you will receive a guest. And this is the hyena.
Yeah.
And at night, the hyena comes in. She doesn't need to know who the person will be. But then this man will have sex with this young lady.
Yeah.
And through that, and he might even have sex with a lot of other young ladies at the same time.
So this man, he takes the virginity of the girls in the village. And he also will have relations with a widow for the first time after her husband has died. And in this way, he like purifies them in order to be prepared for marriage.
Yes.
And the headline in the BBC back 5 years ago was there was one of these men in the Lower Shiri who knew he had HIV, and he was the hyena for that area and spreading HIV all the women in his area, which is completely horrific. And only after the international news coverage did the government arrest him and imprison him for what he was doing. But that's what we're saying, as awful as all these things are, is this is not something that's just innocent, right?
Absolutely. It is. It's so evil. It's something which has to come to an end. It's not something which can just keep on going.
So a lot of people in the West have this religious toleration attitude that all religions are basically the same. They all are different expressions of the light, different expressions of the truth. They're like different paths up to the mountain. They're just different ways to get to the same place. Every religion teaches the same basic values of the golden rule to love others like you love yourself. And we're not saying that there aren't some pieces of good in every religion.
There is.
Yeah. So through God's common grace, he has restrained the ultimate sin of society so that societies aren't as sinful as they could be.
Yes, yes.
And one of the vehicles he uses is different religions around the world.
Right.
But there is a clear difference between the fruits of Christianity and the fruits of African traditional religion.
Absolutely.
And other religions
and
around the world.
You just actually say the biggest problem with this kind of tradition religion, which we have mainly in Malawi, it's what drives it. Mm-hmm. The driving force is mostly fear, and the fear is the fear of the ancestors. So even the fisu whom we were talking about, this guy who is sleeping with all of these ladies,
the hyena,
right? I spoke it in Kichewa.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay, so yeah, even this guy, if you refuse that you can't have sex with this hyena, there is this fear which you are being told that something bad will happen to you. So that fear, that's what makes all of this whole thing be so evil in it, the fear of the ancestors.
Yeah, and it makes it almost impossible to escape from it.
Yes.
Thanks for listening. You can follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Gospel Life Go.
God provides for the needs of Gospel Life through your prayers and gifts. To become a prayer or giving partner, go to gospellife.org.
We hope you join us in glorifying God by growing disciples who make disciples. We hope that you live a gospel life.